Well, good afternoon to all of you. That was a beautiful piece, right? Jamie lives up in the Northwest area. Laura was trying to remember which state, whether Oregon or Washington, but what a lovely piece with great words. And I think on such a Sabbath as this, as we're mindful of the passing of our brother, Tony Valenzuela Sr., to strengthen us in a shadow of a time. And for this, I thought the music was really special. Mary, if you're online with your children, I know I've seen Tony's name and I saw Becky there. Our hearts are with you, and I know that you would, these will be some lonely days, and so we're with you. We just want to say that. Tony was a wonderful person, a great Christian. And Ralph and I said, as we parted Thursday with you and your family there, that what a lovely family. What great children. What supportive children. You've sown the God we worship of love and care and kindness, of thought and ideas, have sown a wonderful crop of people who have great, rich faith and love for you. So what a wonderful thing. And in light of that, if you would turn with me to Psalm 23. I'm mindful today that we seem to have a shadow of gloom and darkness over our world, over society. And David expresses it so well in Psalm 23. As he begins and he reads and he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then he skips and we go down to verse 4 and it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." What is David saying? David experienced something unique here and he conveys it to us. The shadow, the gloom, it can be over life sometimes, and David acknowledges it. It's up to us to be real with our God, with each other, and the way in which we can be encouraged, the way in which we can be strengthened, as we heard about in the song. You know, this word, as we go back up to verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." In the Greek, the word for shepherd is ra'ah, just like it sounds, like raw and ah, but it literally comes from this side of life, to tend, to pasture, to flock. And we see here that David considers God his shepherd, the one who pastures him, the one who feeds him, the one who guides him along. You know, and there's always a discussion in the Old Testament of who's David, for example, talking about. And I know John Garnett and I were talking the other day. And I mean, here you see it says the Lord. And I see there's two references that are important for us to realize. Go down to verse 6. We want to know who David's talking about. And he says, the end of verse 6, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The Lord, clearly here, has a dual meaning. It means the God, our Father, right? And because we know in John 14, verse 2, it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." We would say we long for the day when God will have us dwell with him in his pasture, in his full mansion, his full light of being. But yet also, clearly the Lord here can mean and does mean Christ. What's it say in John 10, verse 11? It says, John 10, verse 11, it says, "I am the good shepherd. The shepherd gives his life for the sheep." The analogy is very rich here. We must claim the promise when we read verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd," that it means the God, the Father. Okay, it means the one whose house we will dwell in. And it means the one who came, who became Jesus, and who says, he says, "I am the good shepherd and I give my life for the sheep." David truly meant that. David truly meant how many times had he sacrificed his own being and his own self-awareness and everything to protect those sheep. These were his sheep. Jesus says, "We are sheep." What's it say in John 10, verse 14? It says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I am known by my own." You and I, as Mr. Shemit, Paul Shemit claimed, right? We know God. God has allowed us to see and to hear him. What a wonderful gift. You know, I have a comment to say here. You know, I want to remind you that there is only one shepherd in your life, and that is God and Jesus Christ. You know, we as pastors, elders, others who teach, I would submit, based on just the verses in John 10, that we would never want to come close to claiming to be your shepherd. Because you and I need a shepherd who is as powerful, loving, kind, and gracious as only God himself and Jesus Christ. We who come along, we who guide the rest of us at sometimes and nurture us along, we can only reflect, we can only guide, we can only point you to the one who is, who abides as the shepherd of Israel, Jesus Christ, God the Father. What a wonderful thing. You know, in their book, Faith for Exiles, I commented on this several months ago, Matlock and Kinnaman make this incredible point about how we get an intimacy with God. And they were talking about the fact that they've surveyed Christians. And on page 30, they did a survey of 18 to 29-year-olds from churched families, okay, in America. Churched families in America. So these young people grew up Christian. And the survey taken in February of 2018 identified 22% of this group were individuals that you would consider prodigals. They're ex-Christians. They no longer claim to be anybody's sheep or claim that anybody is their shepherd. 30% say they are nomads. They're unchurched. They believe in God. They espouse a belief. Okay. They pray, believe, but they find no need to be rejuvenated in the pastures of God, to come to church, to be nurtured in that way. They are self-nurturers, if you would. They're trying to graze wherever they can find grass. And perhaps we will have to spend time in the coming years in how we help get them back inside the pasture where they can be nourished and fed even more. And they said 38% of this group of people, 18 to 29, are habitual church growers. That's a good thing. They come here for nourishment. They come together to be taught and to learn. But then there's 10% that they identify as resilient. Resilient disciples, because they identify with five key areas that are essential in surviving in digital Babylon. They have formed a resilient, experiential, intimate relationship with God and Jesus Christ. I submit to you the Savior. The second one is they understand cultural discernment. The third one is they create intergenerational relationships that help buoy them up and strengthen them. They train for vocational discipleship. And they understand that they have to curb entitlement and the self-centered tendencies that our countercultural digital world embrace, espouse, and push on us daily, hourly, and by the minute. But this incredible thing about how you become intimate with God and Jesus Christ, I think here, the point here is that we must realize when we claim God as our shepherd, okay, and Christ is the one who's leading and guiding us, it changes our prayer. It changes who we are. It changes and reminds us that we are in need. We're in need of feed. We're in need of guidance. We're in need to come out from the shadows of life and to live. You know, and when you answer that question, when you pray to God and you sit in your chair, when you, you know, take your walk or when you kneel down beside the bed and you say, am I coming to you, God, as a sheep? Am I coming to you as my true shepherd? Watch how he answers you. Watch how he changes your perspective and watch how he helps you dwell a little more confidently and you change and recognize that we have, God is intimate with us, but we've got to recognize that we ask, seek, and knock, and he becomes very real and very important to us. And we change from being habitual to being resilient. resilient, because not that we don't recognize the weaknesses, not that we don't get sad, not that we don't get lonely, not that we don't see the shadows of life. But at the end of the day, we champion God as the one who will deliver. He is the shepherd. This is an incredible thing. You know, as we go down in verse 4, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." The valley in the Hebrew is gay, and it literally means that V of the mountain, you know, the gate, you could almost say the gap, you know, that's there. And the only way to the top is through the valley. And then it says the shadow of death. And in most translations, the very concept, it's a concept here, the shadow of death, you know, coming from one Hebrew word. The Hebrew word is sal mal death. And it literally it could mean here, as you would say, as the translators make it, this shadow of death and dying. And as Paul mentioned, Shemit, that we come and we cannot help in January but to reflect on 2020. And as I, you know, gathered notes and I looked around and I thought, well, brethren, you know, we've laid to rest a number of people this year. As we think about the shadow of death, Gary Edwards, Pete Lorenzano, Herb Vieira, Virgil Cotter, and now Tony Valenzuela Sr. in 1 year. And I hope we pause. I hope we pause and we say to our shepherd, thank you, God, for their life. Thank you for the example they set. Thank you for the faith they had, the exercise. Thank you for the hugs, the eyes, the meaning of thought. These people recognized that God was their shepherd, and they laid their life down so that what? So that they could have it given back to them again at Christ's wonderful return. Jesus said, John 6:44, no one comes to me except the Father who sent me draws him. And the last part of the verse we don't usually quote too often says what? And I will raise him up at the last day. Oh, those are the promises that we love to claim as we say that we're walking in the valley of the shadow of death. However, there's a little more to this concept of the shadow of death in Psalm 23, verse 4. Ellicott's commentary for English readers asserts, as a number of commentaries do, that the word should not be translated sal ma beth, that it should only be translated sal ma, meaning shadow, meaning only darkness. Cambridge Bible for Schools and Colleges supports their point by saying compound words, triple compound words, okay, in Hebrew are extremely rare, most only used in proper names. And there are good grounds for supposing that the word is thus derived from a different root and should be read salmoth and explained simply as that deep, that gloom, that shadow that is laid upon a valley when you're behind the hill and you're going up through and the sun is kind of hidden. Have you ever been hiking in the mountains here, California, where deep ravines, and when the sun's behind that hill, whoa, the temperature drops, it's cooler, there's a shadow, and as the sun goes to go down, it can become gloomy, it can be dark. You know, there's a lovely book that many of us read in the spring. It's called A Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm by Philip Keller, a man who spent a lot of time in Africa. And he has a lovely chapter only on this verse, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He makes the comment that in a valley, he was raising sheep in South Africa and then on to the western ranches in the United States. And he says, there's this trek that happens with sheep herders, and they take the sheep, just as it would have been in Palestine, and David knew this so well. They take them from the lowlands, they take them from the ranch, and they take them up. They take them up in the summer to have better forage, better pastures, and a better time to grow, to be nurtured. He makes three points about this verse. He says, only one gains higher ground by climbing up through the valley. my postscript is with the shepherd. The second point is, it's the gentlest grade, and it has water along the route. My premise would be, our shepherd knows the way. And his third point, which is fascinating, is only in the valleys do you have the richest feed so that you can have this climb that goes and the sheep can eat along the way. Our shepherd will feed us as we have need. You know, Mr. Keller, Philip Keller writes in his book, he says, it's a lovely phrase and he points it so well because he's a shepherd. So maybe I should quote a shepherd. You know, he knew a lot about sheep and he talks about it in his book. And he kind of does this because David knew sheep so well. He says, their summer will be spent in close companionship and solitary care of the good shepherd. You know, when you're in the valley of the shadow, it seems that it's only you and the shepherd. Both in Palestine, he writes, and on our Western sheep ranches, in this division of years that goes between the lowlands and the highlands and grazing, there's this common practice. It's during this time that the flock is entirely alone with the shepherd. Do you feel entirely alone right now? The good news is you're with the shepherd, the Lord, and Jesus Christ. Mr. Keller says, the sheep, they are in intimate contact with him and under his most personal attention and care. What an incredible phrase. He says, that is why these last verses in Psalm 23 are couched in such an intimate and first language. And it is well remembered that all of this is done against the background of the wild mountains, the rushing streams, the alpine meadows, and the high rangelands. Page 81. He makes this comment that verses 1 through 3, the sheep are bragging, if you would, to somebody across the fence and says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. And then verse 4, he says, notice the phrasing goes to now, though, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I will fear no evil. God becomes very personal between you and him alone. Mr. Keller picks up this comment and he goes, David knew all this routine so well. He knew that this wild but wonderful country, like the palm of his hand, never did he take his flock where he had not already gone before. Always he had gone ahead to look over the country and care. He knew all the dangers. He knew where all the raging streams were, all the places they could cross or not cross, the floods, the avalanches, the possible rocks, where the poisonous plants were, the ravages of predators that raid the flock, or the awesome storms of sleet and hail that can come along, or a COVID virus. And so now, amid all these grand challenges of going up the valley of the shadow, David writes, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. I'd like us to pause today on the last part of that mid verse 4. You are with me. This is where we need to be. You know, as I analyze these three points that Mr. Keller's brought up, I thought about, you know, we've been climbing up through the valley to higher pastures this year. Despite COVID, the shepherd's with us, but those among us who had students and children, guess what? We had to get them through. Remember early in August, we couldn't even do our graduation thing in June, you know, when we talked, had Kayla and Castro and Julia Toms and Colin McCrady, Sean Grinnell, Jeremy Grinnell, and John. John Gompertz didn't get to join us that day, did he? But they all had to graduate. Their families had to say, look, we still got COVID, but we got to get you through. We have to keep moving. We have to keep, and guess what? That's what happens. A shepherd keeps his sheep moving sometimes. And that's what we're up against now, right? We have our families who have school-age children under school. You know, we still got them in high school. You know, I think of the Mellows and the McKeegans. I even think, you know, the Braggesons and the Browns. I mean, imagine Bob and Gina, you got two kids away. You're trying to keep them going to school or not going to school. Are they going to school? I mean, you know, you have a little one at home, or the Garnets have got Emma, Will and Ethan. Charmaine and Jonathan have Brennan and Brion. Oscar and Tanya are down there on the border trying to run a school or not to run a school. You know, Caleb and Julia and Stephanie are trying to get classes. Where can they take a class? Can they take it online? Will they take it online? Wow. Climbing up through the valley. And guess what? We have to keep moving a little bit. Keep moving. Speaking of that, we had three weddings this year. You know, we had Josiah and Courtney. We had Lizzie and Mike. We had Kate, Caroline and Jake. Life had to keep moving with our shepherd. Families, parents, my hat's off to you. You kept moving. Our children need to understand, pandemic or not, life needs progress. Life needs feed. Life needs something. And you found it from the Lord, who is your shepherd. We are living through verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But we conclude that that's possible because you, God, the shepherd, Christ Jesus, are with me and you. We judge God right if that's true. You know, Mr. Keller's second point was, it's the gentlest grade and well-watered way to the top. Our shepherd knows the way. May all of us see that going there together makes all the difference. It makes the enriching. Mr. Keller's brings out on page 89 a lovely point. He says, our shepherd knows all of this. He knows the challenges, the heartbreaks, the near misses. And when he leads us through the valleys with himself, he knows where we can find strength, sustenance, and find gentle grazing grounds despite the threat of disaster about us. It's most reassuring, he says, and reinforcing experience to the child of God to discover that there is, even in the dark valley, a source of strength and courage in God himself. Even this year, we have had members who have had major challenges in their life. And they have judged that God would help them through and know the way. I think of the Marinos. I think of Beth Sabeth having a new baby. I think of Chris and Kaylee having their twins, having to visit the ICU daily until they got the children home. And now we've even had them come to outdoor church. The joy of seeing the kids laying on the blanket is because we went through the valley of the shadow of days when you didn't get to bring your kids home. Or Dave and Pam Hunt, those days that Dave lay in the hospital. And now he's back trying to, you know, Dave, he's just so good-natured. We just smile when we say Dave's name, don't we? Thank you, Dave. Or Elida and Lourdes, who had COVID together and went down to Loma Linda. And they said, well, what are you doing here? You don't live here. She goes, we keep the Sabbath and so do you. And they let him in the door. Those nurses put mother and daughter in the same room. That was special, wasn't it? That's what our God's done for us. I'm mindful of Aggie Reyes. I see her on the line today. Hello, Mrs. Reyes. She had to go to the hospital and go to COVID for a deep, deep wound. She got out without it. As they were leaving, her dear daughter, Debbie, texted me. Both of them with masks on in the car. She says, I got mom. She kept going. Judged God, knew the way, would give them strength. Our brother John Lyons almost cut his arm off. Matthew's version of that story is rather interesting, isn't it, Matthew? or Stephen and Susan Huco, who had to go to the emergency room, and that lovely charge nurse who says she goes with him because she knows the story, because Steve couldn't say a word. Seeing your way through. We have recent illnesses. We have Joanne Clemens, who's home from the hospital. We have Sharon Roybal, who wanted to say, by the way, she's doing better. She felt thankful for a mild case. The Austerlies, who are both home and starting to be on the mend. Candace, I know Donna said that you said she was starting to do somewhat better, moving through. Or the Grinnells. We're all judging God knows the way. And along the way, he's feeding us. For Bill and Joanne Schutz, who had to go back home to Michigan, I'm not sure which home we get to say, Bill and Joanne. We keep trying to claim you and you keep going back to Michigan. But anyway, but they had to go back there so they could get some of the necessary surgeries because they could get in the hospital and couldn't get it here. God showed them the way. There's this lovely Psalm, Psalm 57, verse 1. Psalm 57 and verse 1, if you turn to it in your Bibles, you know, the preamble to it says to the chief musician, it says, set to the tune, do not destroy. I wonder what that tune sounded like. It's a mitchum of David when he fled from Saul into the cave. Cave where it's not just gloomy, it's dark. And there David writes, be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge until all these calamities have passed by. Don't we feel that? Don't we feel that hopefully God has strengthened us and we feel that in this shadow, eventually the calamities will pass us by. Friends, the valley of the shadow is not over yet. We have many months, if you read the papers, if you see what's going on. But we must cling to this part of the verse in verse 4 that says, I will fear no evil for you, the great shepherd of Israel, Jesus, God the Father, are with me. Tuck those words in your pocket, in your ear. God is with you. He's with me. That's a wonderful, wonderful phrase, is it not? Our shepherd knows the way. He's with us. And the third point that Mr. Kellers makes is the valley often has the richest feed and the best forage. Our shepherd will feed us. What a wonderful thing, God supplying our needs, whether we're working from home, having to have new methods, or whether we have to go out to work with PPE equipment on top of other equipment. Maybe because of that, you love to take a walk outside in a park now, much more. Or you have a new job that doesn't really fit with your skill sets because that's what they're making you do, but you're glad to have a job. Or you have no hours. And now you wonder what God will open up next. Psalm 80, verse 1, it says, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. Do you feel like a part of the flock of sheep that God's guiding? I have to throw this one in because I'm always thought of it when I think of the shadow. Norma Kelly's mother, Dolores, who we all knew for many years, it was one of her favorite psalms, and she wrote a hymn of it. I wonder if we should get that hymn, Norma. In Psalm 17, verse 8, it says, God, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. So as we're seeing the shadow of the valley of gloom and death, may we also be reminded that God says there is a shadow of his wing, which is viewed as protection, comfort, strength. That's a lovely place to be. Under the shadow of your wing, O Lord. You know, Philippians 4:19, it says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your need, Paul wrote to the Philippians, according to his riches Mr. Keller says, in his book, he makes a lovely quote. He says, "I know of nothing which so stimulates my faith in my Heavenly Father as to look back and reflect on his faithfulness to me in every crisis and in every chilling circumstance of life." As we were standing down at First Community Hospital with Mary and her family the other day, Mary mentioned that her daughter Rosalie had told her of a tip one time, and Mary acted on it. And it was to create this jar. And as you get blessings throughout the year, take a slip of paper and write the blessing on it, fold it, and put it in the jar. And Mary found this lovely jar. I need to see it sometime, Mary. And she says she keeps it in her curio cabinet. And she puts these blessings that God, she sees God's hand during the year. And she has its way of slipping them in the jar without actually opening the jar. I need to see this. But she goes, then once a year, after the year, calendar year is done, she opens up the jar and she reads all those slips of paper. What a beautiful way to remember that God was guiding you. He was your shepherd. He was with you, and he was feeding you. What a lovely way to cherish this verse. I will fear no evil, for you, the shepherd, are with me. You know, I was talking to Matthew Lyons' dad the other day, and he said he was out riding his motorcycle and with some friends, and they went up to the edge of this crest, and it was a couple of weekends ago, and they came around the corner and they realized there was black ice. So they had the good sense, being middle-aged men with families, to come home and not ride further. But life, like the one we're living through right now, is like going across black ice. No throttle, no brakes, and you're just on for the ride. The good news is our shepherd knows the way. So Mr. Keller makes 3 points. One only gains higher ground by climbing up through the valley with the shepherd. The second, it's the gentlest grade and the most well-watered route. Our shepherd knows the way. And the third, the valley often has the richest feed, the best forage. My shepherd will feed me. You know, some say that 2020 was the worst year ever. Well, John Strossel, who has the Center for Independent Thought and Organization, quotes from his book, The Story of Human Progress. It's actually Johan Norberg wrote the book, The Story of Human Progress. And he submits that it was the best year in human history to undergo this pandemic. His 5 points are, in the year 2020, we would not have had the technology to create the mRNA vaccine. If it had been 1995, there would have been no World Wide Web. There'd be no Zoom, no webcast, no emails, no FaceTime, no video doctor visits, no order takeouts, no Netflix. If the year had been 1976, we would not have been able to read the genome of the virus. And if it had been 1950, there would not have been a ventilator to use. Was it a challenging year? You bet. We judge it so. But what I've heard from the people of God in our congregation all year long is Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2, if you'll turn over with me. I've heard the sheep of the great shepherd saying these words, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, because we have known sin, and Jesus Christ paid the penalty for that sin, and we have been rectified and reconciled to God." What a wonderful thing. And then I hear us say in verse 8, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul," in verse 9, "and fills the hungry soul with goodness." We say, whether we've laid our loved ones in the grave whether we've endured sickness, we've nurtured our children on and not even been able to attend their weddings. We've judged God as our shepherd. Let us give thanks to that God. In the coming year, my friends, together, we are going to work as God gives us the opportunity. We're going to rest each Sabbath. We're going to gather as we can. We're going to observe the holy days in some fashion, some plan, some way. Just as we did last year, we found a way. We'll find a way this year. We'll pray for each other. We'll help our neighbors. We'll send cards. We'll make phone calls. Remember what it says in 1 Peter 1, verse 22. In sincere love of the brethren, I have seen so much sincerity. It must really, really touch God's heart to watch you work, to watch you love, to watch you pray, to watch you care. I know it just makes me pause. We're going to cry some more. We're going to cry out some more. We're going to laugh. And we're going to remember, as it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, to throw all our cares upon him because he is a faithful shepherd. We're going to ask for protection and healing. But then I think we're going to make a plan to do something special when COVID is over. You know, Psalm 63, verse 7 says, because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wing, I will rejoice. Won't that be nice? That we'll say, yes, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And we will take it what? We will take that lovely moment, what it was like to feel to be in the shadow and the gloom and the coldness of the day. And remember that we can also be under the shadow of God's wing and protection. And from there, let us commit ourselves to rejoice and figure out what we'll do, what we'll say on that day to each other as we hug, as we give thanks, as we recognize that God truly is the one to cling to. Is it any wonder that David, when he looked at life, wrote Psalm 23 and he clung to so well. Psalm 23, verse 1, which says, yea, though I walk through the valley, I really meant to go over to my other ribbon. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want. Because why? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you, the great Father and Shepherd of all, and our elder brother, Jesus Christ, are with me and you. Let's look up and see a great shepherd leading us on.